This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hello, listeners. My name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught you in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, you know, very good, Vanessa. Today's topic is literally one of those things they don't talk about in seminary. Like, no, I went to school for this stuff, and they never talk about this stuff. But no, I'm doing well. I'm excited to be on this podcast today, excited to talk. We're talking about bad habits that are killing churches' announcements. I know announcements, you're like, how are we going to talk about announcements? But it's really important.
I wondered, but then I read the article and I was like, yeah, you dropped some good truth bombs in there.
Well, it's funny because, you know, for me, I think the announcements are this amazingly precious time. So most church services, at least for the folks that are listening in, are really a combination of three things. They're some sort of music time, you know, musical worship of some sort, and then there's, you know, teaching, and really the music time is about transcendence. It's about how do we help people, you know, at least be aware of, connected to, you know, something larger than themselves. It's also like sociologically music. When you have people sing, it kind of is a way to focus people and kind of be like, okay, we know you got all this other stuff going on in your world, but let's all focus down in. And then, you know, the teaching portion, typically for most churches that are listening in, teaching is about, you know, truth. It's about, hey, what's actually true? But then it's also about, here's how you can live different. Now, the interesting thing about announcements are this incredible hinge, because really the announcement portion is about moving people to action. It's about saying, yeah, there's all this interesting transcendence. You're connected to God. That's great. And like, yeah, we're going to have all these interesting ideas, but what are you actually going to do different? So I think it's like probably the most under-leveraged 5 minutes in every church service out there. And so I'm super passionate about helping churches wrestle through that. I've written an ebook on it and a bunch of stuff on seminary. So I'm excited to be into it today.
Yeah, that's exciting. Do you find 5 minutes is a long time to talk about announcements? No.
Well, you know, there's, if I use 5 minutes, you know, kind of euphemistically, actually most churches are running somewhere around that, actually maybe a little bit longer. So, you know, they, you know, when you actually time it out, it's rarely less than 5 minutes. So, you know, there are some churches that do it shorter than that, but, you know, usually that whole portion is somewhere around that time.
That is terrifying for somebody who has a really hard time focusing on one thing for 5 minutes.
I think if you were to time it out at our church, it'd be something like that. Don't you think so? I'm going to time it out this weekend. I'm going to time it out and see what it is.
I'll time it in Barry.
Okay, great. We're going to two different campuses this weekend, so we'll time it and see for sure.
Cool. So let's get into this. So talking about the weather.
All right. So the first bad habit, this one gets under my skin so much. People who do announcements, see, at the beginning of announcements, typically what happens is whoever's up, the host, the campus pastor, whoever's doing it, they're trying to find ways to connect with people. And so what they do is they talk about the weather. Now, this just drives me around the bend because, you know, the thing about the weather is it's basically the same as it was the day before. And the reason why we talk about the weather is because we were looking for something that connects us all together. And so then the kind of lazy thing to do is like, well, we all just experienced the weather outside, so let's talk about the weather. I really don't think that anybody ever doing announcements should ever talk about weather unless it is of historic proportion. So like, it's literally just verbal diarrhea. Unless your church just went through like a major snowstorm or like a major hurricane, or like you just had an all time 50-year high in the summertime, you just literally should not talk about a weather. It's lazy. You know, it's like as if we were to say, you know, like, wow, there's a lot of oxygen in this air today. People are like, of course there's a lot of oxygen. Or like, you know, how many people are thankful that the sun came up today? It's like, of course that. Or like, you know, hey friends, man, hasn't this gravity just been weighing us all down recently? You know, it's just ridiculous. It bugs me. So it's a bad habit. You need to stop it. Literally just draw a hard line. We will never talk about the weather at our church.
I think if I ever hear a communicator start their conversation with connecting with the weather, I'm instantly gone. I'm out.
Yeah.
You've lost me.
And it's amazing actually how much it happens. Like, it's one of those, and in fact, people who are listening in today, like, just let it roll over this weekend at your church. And you would be amazed. It's probably close to 50%. If it hasn't been challenged with someone internally, it's somewhere close to 50% that whoever's doing announcement or maybe the kind of main teacher person, you're always talking about the weather. I'm like, just stop talking about the weather. You don't need to talk about it. There's other ways to connect, you know, and they're not, the problem with the other ways to connect with your audience is they actually take more work. They actually, you actually have to work on it. And so, you know, eye contact, literally the thing, if you have studied communication ever, the one thing that is like universally understood to connect with an audience is eye contact. So not the like look over the top of the heads and like picture the back wall. Actually literally looking into people's eyes in the room is vitally, you know, important. You know, taking time to understand, you know, to tell stories is important. So let's say you're talking about, you know, this is a time of year, typically in the fall, you know, we have like a lot of small groups starting up, that sort of thing. So instead of just talking about small groups, why not go out of your way and tell about a time that something great happened in your small group. That's something that people are literally our brains. There's all kinds of studies that show our brains are literally hardwired to narrative. We're trying to fit our stories, our life into a narrative. And so, you know, help people that way. Humor is super important. You know, it's an important way to connect. Now it's really hard to do. I know it's hard to do. Like it's, you know, we've all seen that. Like we all, you know, the church around the corner, you know, by your house that puts up those like witty sayings on the board on the front. They're trying to be funny. They're just being corny. But humor's hard. I get that. But you know, over time you can work on it and, you know, get better at it. And, you know, there's a whole other conversation about how do you be funny, but, you know, it's, you know, important. And then finally, actually people listen to people that they know. And so even if, you know, there's a bad habit. I was going to list this as its own bad habit, but I didn't. There's a bad habit that people who do announcements are like spending their whole time in some green room or backstage somewhere, away from people, when actually that's hindering their ability to connect with folks. And so really, you know, to get out of the green room, and get connecting with people, you know, shaking hands, all that stuff during this, you know, the in-between actually will help drive the effectiveness of your announcement time.
That's something that we really strive for at our main campus with our church is to get just even the band to be in the lobby chatting with people, because then you're creating those relationships, and it's I find it really nice anyways to have a conversation with somebody and then to see them on stage 2 minutes later. I connect better with them. Oh, way totally. Better.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I think some of that's the stories and the humor. You're just be authentic, right? There's no sense standing on stage trying to be fake. It's like, no, let's be real in who we are and share applicable stories where people can connect instead of just being lazy. Nobody likes somebody
good.
Who's lazy.
No, that's very good. Very good.
So talking about too many things, I'd say this is probably one of my pet peeves because I can't focus for long. So if you're talking about too many things at once, it can just inundate my brain and I just shut off. So let's chat about that.
Yeah. So, you know, again, this is like a cardinal sin of announcements that happens quite a bit where, you know, whoever's doing it gets up and they have a laundry list, you know, or they have a grocery list of items. They have five things they want to talk about. Again, this is, you know, this isn't rocket science. It's not like, it's not even like a controversial idea. It's one of those things that we know as leaders, but we just don't apply. The more information we give to people or the more calls for action, the more things we ask people to do, the less likely they are to remember any of them. You know, and there's all kinds of studies. I can't remember where they linked. Oh, I didn't link to a study. There's all kinds of studies out there that show the kind of correlation to this is commercials on television that, you know, I do probably wonder why is it that, you know, the commercial breaks are all about the same, you know, they're that kind of 2 minutes or 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The reason why that is because over four messages, basically the ability to remember anything goes to zero. And so, you know, what you want to do is work hard to, you know, force down to just really the ideal. I really do think the ideal is to just one announcement. So one thing outside of, you know, the standard calls to action around offering or around, you know, new here stuff, you really should not be talking about anything else. If you get up and talk about two or three things, you're already above four items because because you've got, you know, some sort of new here thing, you've got some sort of offering thing, then the message itself will usually have a call to action to it. Or if it's good teaching, it'll have some sort of call to action for it. So if you add two or three announcements on top of that, you're 5, 6, 7 calls to action within a service. And what will happen is people just won't move forward. They won't, they just won't be able to recall anything, let alone take any action on it.
And that's totally overwhelming. And I mean, like you say in the article, there's also lots of other avenues that we can take advantage of, mm-hmm. like social media, email marketing, you know, putting stuff on display. I mean, we have TVs. Why not put some sort of reel together to narrow down those announcements, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason why this happens is because there isn't a robust system or a person that's out there saying no. You know, there isn't a way, because every department thinks that, actually, if we just get them to talk about it in the announcements, then that will drive the success of whatever event we need to talk about. But that's actually just not true. Like, if you've been around church leadership for a while, you understand that actually stage time doesn't make the difference to your particular event or your particular ministry growing or not. It's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the only thing. And so what you have to do is someone has got to take the kind of lead on saying, we're going to drive towards one thing. We're going to kind of fight it out ahead of time. And we're going to then help those departments to do, like you said, social media, email marketing, do stuff in the foyer, phone people, you know, shake their hands, direct mail, whatever other avenues that aren't the main stage. So typically the antidote of trying to, you know, too many items is actually offering other channels, helping your, you know, departments figure out there's other places they should be communicating with people, not the main stage.
And I mean, most of these are free, right? It's another touching point to speak with people that attend your church. It's another touch point. And I think that's huge, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to get out in front of people consistently. You know, your church needs to have some sort of communication calendar. It doesn't need to be complex. But, you know, ultimately in the past, on this particular topic, what I've done is actually gathered department heads together and said, okay, we are only going to have one announcement. We started with two and then we went down to one. We're only going to have one announcement or two announcements. So we're going to talk about the next quarter's announcement schedule. So we're going to work out who is getting what time, and we'll do trade-offs and, you know, figure out when, you know, we get a chance to talk about it. But, and then from there, you take that same thing and apply it to, okay, what are we sending out through email? What are we doing on social media? What are we doing in the, you know, in the foyer? What are we doing? You know, there's lots of other things, other channels that we could be, you know, figuring out how we're going to communicate to our people on a consistent basis. Most churches don't communicate with their people enough between Sundays. They just, you know, it's like we wonder why they don't come on Sundays. We don't do enough in the middle of the week to kind of help drive engagement on the weekend.
And I think it's not enough to rely on just an email through the week, right, midweek. There has to be more.
Right. And increasingly so. Email is, we all know this, email is it's still the most effective way to do direct call to action. So it is still the most effective way to say, if I'm trying to get people to register for something, send them a link and say, click here to register now. It's still the most effective form on that, but it is a decaying format. It is we're seeing lower return rates. You're seeing, you know, lower open rates, lower click-through rates. That's pretty standard across the board. And so, you've got to work other channels and then ultimately have, you know, email as kind of the final, you know, click here to make this happen now kind of approach.
Yeah, so it's so interesting to see with how technology has sort of spanned over the last couple of years, of how that's really playing into the church world and what that looks like for the people in your church. And you have to rethink of how this is going to work for you and what that plan looks for you. And I, speaking of plans, that kind of leads us into our next point of people don't care about your plans or your goals.
Okay. I was like in an ornery mood when I wrote this. This is like, you know, we're talking about bad habits here. And I feel like all of this is like, it's like curmudgeonly complainer rich here writing. But it's true. They don't care, you know. So, and again, you'll hear this quite a bit, you know, so the youth group is planning a trip to a local theme park next month. No one cares. You know, the small groups, you know, are launching next week and their sign up forms in the foyer. Yeah, no one cares. You know, we're starting a new series on the Book of Jonah next Sunday. Oh, like, that doesn't make any difference to me. People are inherently disinterested in what you're doing. They are inherently self-interested people. And now, that there could be people, I know there's people that are listening now, they're like, oh, that's just not true. you know, or like, oh, that shouldn't be the way. Like, we should be worrying about other people. Okay, that's fine. But I can tell you that that humans are, and adult humans particularly, are wired to really constantly look for what's in it for me. If I can't clearly understand what difference does this make in my life, I'm just not interested. Adults are just-in-time learners. They only learn things until they just need to know about them. Or, and they're only just-in-time applicators. They only apply things to their lives when it actually makes a difference to you. So you've got to kind of reframe everything around what difference it makes for people. You can't start with what difference it makes for you or for the church. It has to start what makes a difference for your audience. You've got to start there.
And I love in this article that you break that down as to like practically what that looks like, how you can rephrase things to go from one way to another that has so much more meaning to it and likely to see more response to it. I think that's really great that you added that in. That's so practical for church leaders.
Yeah, there's a couple examples that, you know, in there. So instead of just talking about the youth group going, you know, to a local theme park, you know, what this really comes down to is putting in the word because in your announcements. Like it's saying, you know, this is the reason why we're doing this. It's coming back. It's that Simon Sinek idea. Start with why are we doing this? So, you know, the youth group is heading to a local theme park next month because we all know that our best friendships are formed with people who we've shared life with. You've got to underline that for people that, hey, you know, parents, we want your kids to make new and meaningful friendships with other students and leaders here at the church. And so we want them to go to this theme park next month. That's why we're doing this event. You know, will you help us encourage your kids to join? The two parts of that, first of all, is really on that one. When you're doing announcements about in your adult service about student ministry, I think sometimes we get fuzzy in our heads about it. We are talking to the adults. Students aren't paying attention anyways in that moment. You want
they're probably
to,
not even there.
Yeah, they may not be in the room to start with, and they're not tuning into like what the difference does this make. So, you know, direct it towards who the people are. So the problem where this, and I don't actually get into this in this article, but the problem when we talk about student or kids ministry things is getting back to the what's in it for me thing. If adults are always filtering what is in it for me. So when we start talking about student stuff, actually their minds turn off. They're saying, this isn't about me. I'm not a student. So you've got to draw them back in and say, no, look, parents, we need you to help your kids do this. You've got to be as blatant, you know, as that. Actually, so Carrie Newhoff, our lead pastor, did this, I thought, just swimmingly with a recent series at our church on the book of Jonah, which the book of Jonah could be, well, first of all, it's like you could get, you know, so, you know, caught up in the, what difference is it a big fish? It is a whale. What does all that mean? But he did a really good job and actually used the example in this, you know, he characterized the entire book of Jonah around this idea of escapism. And he said, you know, so next week we're kicking off a brand new Sunday series all about escapism. We all have at one point or another run away from one thing or another, whether we drink too much, overeat, work a little too much, or, you know, spend a little too much time online. The book of Jonah, the story of Jonah from the Bible, is so much more than a story about a guy who got swallowed by a big fish. It's a story about a guy who tried to escape God or the God who kept trying to pursue him. And join us next week as we marvel in this ancient story and how it makes relevant, you know, how it's connected to our lives today. You know, I thought that was a great setup. And it also reminded us that we've got to do the long work to help connect really ancient stories to today. We've got to connect, we've got to draw the lines for people consistently. And that's super important when we talk about new series. Why are we doing this series from their perspective? You might be saying, we're doing the book of Jonah because in our preaching calendar, we think it's important to do minor prophets on a regular basis. And so, you know, but the people don't care about that. They don't, you know, they don't care about that. That makes no difference to them. What they do care about is what makes a difference in their lives. And the hook in that case of like escapism, what are those areas in our lives that we escape, is a great way to draw people in.
Yeah. I mean, he easily could have left it off at, this is about escapism. And then it's like, wait, but what does that mean for me? And to explain that further, to expand on that further, it's like, wow, this is really applicable to my life. I can get something out of this, or I know somebody that I can invite because it's applicable to their life.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. He was gold on that for sure. So I like this point as well. You're rushing the offering talk. I think that happens a lot at churches. It's kind of that, like, you don't want to ask for money. It's this, just this awkward moment of, and how do you navigate that? And so I'm really glad that you mentioned that in this article.
Yeah. So the minute or, you know, two right before you receive the offering as a church is critically important. It's one of those parts of the service where, you know, anxiety goes up with everyone. The person on stage, they're anxious about it because they know, you know, they've heard all these studies that people don't like when you talk about money. And then people in the audience, they're anxious about it because they're like, oh my goodness, I'm nervous about money and I don't want to give. And are these, is this finally, have I finally been confirmed that this is a cult and they just want my money? You know, like everybody is nervous about it. And so what happens is we rush that part of the service. We just blow through it too quickly. And we'll be like, all right, so the ushers are going to come now and they're going to receive this morning's offering. And, you know, thanks so much for giving. And then boom, you go, you know, you miss an opportunity. You really do have to slow down. And again, I've written a bunch on seminary on offering talks. If you just search offering talks on seminary, there's a bunch on there. But really, that, you know, the cardinal sin, the bad thing, the bad habit that churches have around this is, you know, it falls under the category of rushing it. You've got to slow down, and you know this part of the service can't be, you know, a speed bump. It's got to feel like you pause, you know, for this moment and do it well, set it up well, think about it, plan it. And, you know, there's some practical tips in there around, you know, particular language that you could use, or, you know, make sure you're always thanking. I firmly believe that, you know, you really, before you ever ask anyone to give to your church, you need to thank them for, you know, giving, and, you know, talk about, you know, make the ask, all these different things. And so there's some help in there, you know, for offering talks.
I sort of think too, if you're spending 5 minutes on your welcome, which to me seems like a long time, yes. I think you could really move through 2.5-3 minutes would be a good amount of time for your welcome where you're not inundating people with announcements.
Yep.
And move that extra amount of time down to your offering talk, maybe panning that out. Maybe that's that 5 minutes where you're going to really commit to connecting with your audience and thanking them and articulating. You know, I love when you say receive, don't collect. Like, I mean, that's a small change in your language that could potentially have big return, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, one of the tips I talk about there is don't ever talk about, this is a line in the sand for me as well when we talk about money, is don't ever say that we're going to collect today's offering. That's like such bad language. It's a couple things. We collect debts and obligations, and this isn't a debt or an obligation. You know, God gives us the free will opportunity to give back to his incredible mission. And so, you know, we're going to receive those gifts. We're going to receive them as what they are, which is a gift, you know, to God and through our church. And so it's a simple change, but it really does hint to a much larger reality in the way we talk about money at our churches.
Yeah,
You know, there's churches that do.
I love how that fires you up.
Yeah, it does fire me up. There's churches that do full on like micro messages around giving literally every week. And so this is an interesting trend. If this isn't a part of your background, and it's not at ours, our church doesn't, you know, we do a fair job with the offering talk. But there are churches that actually take a moment and have either the lead pastor, or sometimes it'll be like an associate pastor, and they'll literally open scripture every week and talk about giving. They'll talk about, you know, how we're called to give, or the difference it makes in our lives, or, you know, they'll, and there's lots of content in the Bible to talk about. It's not like there's any lack of resource on that. And they'll slow down and do like a 10-minute message every week on that. Now, your church may not be like, I can't stomach that. I'm not sure we'd want to do that every week, but you can't deny when you look at those churches. Actually, Hillsong, if you look at their, you know, the global phenomena that is Hillsong, every week in a Hillsong service, they do that. And they do a good job at it. It's not like pressurized. It's not like, oh, we're trying to, you know, take money from people and all that, but you can't deny that that makes a difference, not only to people, but it makes a difference to the church, you know, as you move forward.
You just nailed it, right? It's you're not pressuring people in that 10 minutes.
Right.
You're just explaining what it is and what it means. And those can be like, I think, oh my gosh, 10 minutes of somebody talking about how I'm going to, you know, supposed to give. That terrifies me. That's so long. Mm-hmm. But then if it's played out perfectly, like, I mean, the Holy Spirit can really move in that moment.
Absolutely. And we think, you know, we believe, we have the idea in our head that actually leading people to a life of generosity is what is best for them. Like, we actually believe that. I fundamentally believe that, that I, one of the best things I can do is actually help people understand that it is so much better to give than to receive, that actually to upside down this consumer mentality that I'm going to take and actually give. Actually, a life of giving is like an incredible life. And so I don't know why we keep shying away from that. We keep shying away from wanting to, you know, draw people into that life. And so we get scared about it. This is a pro tip. This isn't listed in the article. But it's, and I didn't write about it because it's one of those things. It's hard to describe without sounding kind of judgmental. One of my convictions is whoever is talking about money in the life of your church, whoever's getting up on Sunday morning to actually do that, their personal giving habits need to be open for inspection by themselves and by the leadership. That the people who are talking about money need to be people who are actually giving to the church. They need to be people who are showing a generous lifestyle. If they're not showing a generous lifestyle, you should not have those people up on stage talking about it, because people can sniff through that stuff quickly. That's actually, I think, where we end up, the heart of why you end up in this very strange place where it feels like the people on stage are trying to take money from me, because you're not actually inviting, it's not coming out of a place of generosity, it's coming out of a place of you know, scarcity mentality, where the person on stage is hoarding everything they have and they're not giving to the mission. So you're not saying, hey, let's work on this together, let's give to the mission. You're actually saying, you should give to us, you should give to me. I don't give, but you should give. And that, I do think that translates in people's lives. People can smell that a mile away, and they don't even have to say it out loud. It's an intangible piece, but it really is a piece of the puzzle in the offering talk conversation, for sure.
Yeah, wow, you summed that up perfectly.
Great.
So good. Nice. I was like mesmerized just listening to you.
Yeah, wow. I don't know, Vanessa. I'm not that mesmerizing.
It's true, though. I mean, when you speak from the heart, and if it's something that you're doing and it's something that you truly believe, like we always talk about, like that authenticity is going to shine through, and people are going to be able to connect with that. And if you're fake on stage, you're right. We're going to be able to sniff that out for sure.
Definitely. Great.
So we kind of touched on this next point a little bit earlier, but lacking visual support to your announcements, I think it's key. It's key.
Absolutely. So 65% of your people in your church are visual learners. So they, and this is one of those areas where the church in general is widely out of step with broader learning, broader thinking around how to communicate, how people learn, you know, so everywhere, you know, organizations that are trying to drive learning in adults that aren't the local church are understand this intuitively and are working hard at this. All you have to do is watch, you know, any TED talk. Look at all the top 10 TED talks from this year, this week, this ever. You know, they are all extremely visual in their presentation. They're not, you know, they're not just a person standing on stage talking, where the majority of church communicators are still just people standing on stage and talking. They're not thinking through the visual side of how we communicate. And this is true within the announcement portion. So if you really want your announcements to be sticky, if you want them to move beyond just people hearing, what you've got to do is add a visual element to it. And actually just doing that alone, you can ignore everything else I said, just doing that alone will actually drive the effectiveness of your messages up. It's, you know, it's the kind of thing that will, you know, make a difference, you know, just day one even.
Yeah, I am a visual learner. So I find if somebody's just saying something to me, I need to have that visual with it for it to stick into my life. Otherwise, it's gone. Yeah. And I appreciate pretty graphics. So
yeah. Now the interesting thing, I understand the irony of this on a podcast, which is an entirely oral, you know, there's no visual to this at all. So that's not lost on me. People save your emails and letters. I understand that. But see, you're able to like work out or drive your car now because I'm not showing you visuals. So, you know, there's a couple examples on here that they're simple. This doesn't need to be complex. It doesn't need to be like something crazy. So, you know, a simple way, you know, get a postcard printed of whatever the thing you're talking about and make sure people have that on the way in. And then literally just say, hey, as I'm talking today, take out this card. And again, studies have shown that just the effort of someone while you're talking, looking at something else about what you're talking drives the learning, you know, home. It actually helps them think. And then what it does is when they take that home, you know, put it on their fridge or whatever, that, you know, they'll live with that longer. Obviously slides, most churches are doing some sort of announcement slide now, even if it's just the, you know, name of whatever. But you know, they should be supported with a couple slides, maybe not just one, but a couple different slides, getting back to an earlier story or an earlier point. If you're telling a story about, you know, you're about small groups, you're like, you want to tell the story about what positive thing has happened in your small group. Start with a picture first of here's my small group. And there's Bob up there and Fernando, and like Fernando's a funny guy and he told this story once, and then go on to the therefore you should join a small group slide. So start with, you know, a couple, not just one. Flip charts are amazing. I'm a huge fan of the flip chart, but literally it's a funny thing happens with flip charts. And actually this is one of those trends you see in TED Talks. Like, so we have the most complicated, like, video projectors and graphics and video and all this stuff, but there's something about just the very simple, like, white flip chart with a, you know, marker and you're drawing something out that actually sucks you in. You're like, I gotta watch that. What's he drawing? And then there's the awkwardness of most people can't draw very well, and you know, all that. Or an object lesson, you know, the pulling up on stage, you know, maybe you're talking about getting back to the theme park thing. Maybe, you know, you have, I don't know, like one of those giant Slurpee cups from, you know, from the theme park where, you know, you get those things, it's like $5 for a thing, you know, and maybe you walk up on stage with that and you're drinking that during your talk and you're talking about something that happens when, you know, kids, you know, are drinking giant Slurpees when they're at the theme park, you know, together. It's some sort of object. It's amazing how that will drive home, you know, the message. A pro tip on that is another way to use objects well is again, human minds are intrigued with intrigue, with mystery. They're like, oh, I wonder, they want to figure out the mystery, put it together. If you had at the beginning of your service or at the beginning of your announcement time, a table with something under a black tablecloth, humans' minds will be thinking, what's under that tablecloth? I want to know what's under that tablecloth. It's like they can't resist that. And so the idea of like, okay, that's there, and then pull the tablecloth off, you know, drives your attention. The same thing is the same technique is used when you have a prop on stage and you don't reference it at all until later in your talk. You know, we've all seen that where there's a prop there and your mind is thinking, what is that prop for? How is that? What does that have to do with this thing? What is it? Where is it going? And then once you pick it up and actually talk about it, it's like, oh wow, like that's amazing. That kind of draws me in.
And it creates this really interesting tension too, I find. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's under there. So yeah, I'm gonna play that game of guessing it out. Right. And I think that tension can draw people in, right? And absolutely. That I mean, that's what you want. You'd rather people tuning out in those announcement time, right?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the five. That's the five that we're talking about there. You're talking about the weather too much. You know, that's the first bad habit. Second bad habit is you're talking about way too many things. Third, your people don't care about your plans or goals. Really, they don't. Number four is you're rushing the offering talk. And number five, you lack visual support for your announcements. I deliberately worded these as your statements because I think actually most of the churches that are listening in, all five of those things, including ours, struggle with those, all five of those pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the one part in our church that I know for me anyways, that I would like to start to clean up a little bit because it has potential for lots of growth and it has the potential for people to really learn and engage. And I think that's what we really want at the end of the day.
Cool.
So before we sign off, you sort of mentioned it before, but you wrote an ebook all about announcements and I think that's awesome. So, I mean, that's available to all of our listeners as well. So why don't you briefly chat about that?
Yeah. So if you go check at the bottom of the article, there's a link here and it's like totally open. It's not gated. You don't have to give me your email address or anything like that. I used to do that, but actually it's all open now. You can just get it. You can, if you were to go to Amazon and buy it, I think it's like $8, or you can just go to this link and get it for free. So
everybody likes free stuff.
Everybody loves free stuff. And what it is it, so it's called Effective Announcements, Leverage 5 Minutes for Every Sunday to Move People to Action. And it really just kind of covers a wide variety of things around announcements. How do we move people to action in your service? I would love people to pick that up.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really do, and it's kind of recapping where I started. The announcements is all about call to action. It's all about moving people from, you know, where they are, from their seats into the streets. And so don't, you know, fudge with this part of the service. Don't just kind of gloss over it. This part of your service needs care, attention. It shouldn't be the last thing that you think about. Someone shouldn't just get up with a list. You've got to work hard to make this piece of your service great, because it's not just about talking about whatever. It's actually about people's getting engaged in the life of the church and their faith in a very active, real way.
Well, thank you, Rich, so much for writing this super helpful article for all of our listeners. We want to thank you for listening in. You can see this full article and all of our other podcasts at unseminary.com. Until next time, enjoy your time.